Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, as always, joined by my co-hosts, Mike Risse, Mike McGoy, and Christian Epps. What up, fellas? We've had
a What up?
Hey, yo.
Oh.
Yeah. We've had another eventful week in crypto. I feel like my week has been more eventful, maybe, than it has in the past few months, maybe.
That sounds bad, actually. That sounds like, that does not sound good if you know Jason.
Yeah. Exactly. The less events, the better, right?
You broke your NFT cherry. You popped your NFT cherry.
Oh, yeah.
On the buying side.
I was talking about the numbers up. I don't know the price, you know, anymore, but Holy shit.
Yeah,
what a movement.
Yeah, usually when the numbers is up, I'm not as active. I just collect in silence as most of them.
As you should, as yeah. Most people should.
Exactly.
You're like, what?
My tokens, my Bitcoin. And
clout tokens.
Okay. Yeah.
Clout tokens.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, is there a clout token?
There should be.
There is.
Friend of the show, Bobby Hundreds, asked on my IG when I posted the my first NFT purchases. Your first, he said. Definitely, he was a little bit, I don't know how he felt. I have to ask him, but.
Well, he's not the only one who said that to you for the last 3 months. I believe me and Mike, and I'm guessing also that Big Mike has said it, and he doesn't even like fucking NFTs, bro. Right. I know, I told you, why don't you buy Atom Bomb? It's only 0.2. I don't even have one yet at the moment. You should get one, you beat me to it. Why don't you buy Atom Bomb now? What's up with NFTs, guy?
Listen,
what'd you get? What'd you end up buying?
I end up buying Weather Report, which I like their NFTs. I minted them. And the reasons why I bought them were three specific reasons. It was because my friend Gavin did a collaboration with them. Our friend Gavin. Shout out to Gavin and Supervision. I had enough money at the time. I was liquid, right? As we like to say, at that exact moment. And I like the art. So those three specific reasons, you know, there's tangential reasons as well. Like, you know, Mike said that he believed in the project, on the podcast last week, you know, so that was kind of, that gave me a little faith. And Chris was also going to mint one. So usually if I get a tandem Mike Chris agreement and it's something that I'm also leaning towards, you know, it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable to ape in as I did being my first. There's no good reason that I didn't buy Atom Bomb other than, you know, I thought I was never going to buy an NFT at the time, you know, and I was just looking and saying, okay, I like NFTs, I want to sell them, and I always advocate for the selling of them, but didn't think I was going to buy. So I end up minting two of these at the cost of 0.15 Ethereum. I was also gassed, and this is to no fault of Mike's, on his Tubby Cat flip that he flexed to me a couple weeks ago from 0.1 to 0.6 post mint. So, you know, I was hoping for some of that flip action. And yeah, before the NFT was revealed, so for our guests that are listening, the NFT process for purchasing for a lot of these 10K, 5K projects, Invisible Friends also revealed this week, goes a little something like they make a white list based off of friends or users who have bought other items that coincide with their project, or they do a giveaway to basically allow people to create the NFT, or they're paying to create the NFT, and then the rest of the spots they allow the public to do in the same way that you try to buy your Supreme drop, right? It happens almost instantaneously if the project is hyped. So if you're on a white list, that's basically like you're getting your Jordans, you know, at the back of the store from the homie that works there. The only difference is you don't know what you're going to get with an NFT. When you mint,
well, depending on the process. With
depends
this,
on
yeah.
the project. Depends on the project, right?
Yeah.
The project, like this project, which is kind of the most common style, I would say, it has 10,000 versions of an image that is has multiple traits, right? Different hair colors, different hairstyles, different face colors, different hats, different shirts, and, you know, just a bunch of different items. So you can get any kind of jumble of these items on your NFT. It's supposed to be randomized, but that's another topic that I think we'll address here shortly. Yeah, I minted two, and then before the NFTs were revealed, because you mint, then they do a public sale until all of them are sold, or maybe they don't sell, but all of them sold pretty quickly within 10 minutes. And then there's another waiting period for you to see what you actually bought. So before the reveal, I decided to buy a minted NFT from someone else for 0.19. And so then I had three, expecting a flip, expecting everything to go up. But this particular project had a competitor, like we spoke about last week, which was an artist who formerly worked with them. His name is Denton. He created his own project that I believe released the same day. He had 11,111 pieces. And, you know, they were basically in direct competition for the same user base, same market, same art style. There was no legal action taken. So there's no lawsuits or anything like that happening. And then, yeah, they were.
There actually are. There is definitely, there is some.
Oh, there is. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So wow. Yeah, what's the word on that?
I mean, he posted the
cease and desist.
I saw he posted a cease and desist. So then I was in the Discord and they said that they responded with their lawyers and.
Yeah, there's some legal actions being taken.
Okay.
That are being resolved, that are unresolved at the moment. So we'll see what the future of both of these projects are.
Yeah.
I think you pretty much overexposed yourself buying three of them.
Definitely.
Got caught up in the hopium.
Yeah.
In the euphoria of the moment. But what we seen was, what happened was the competition of the two projects, which were pretty much identical, the volume was split. So, and Denton's project ended up being the more successful one at the moment and having a pretty decent pump from 0.11 mint to, I think at the highest it was 0.5.
Yeah.
And Weather Report has yet to really have a pump that's worthy of even mentioning.
Yeah.
I sold mine literally hours after I minted one. Like, I minted one, I was like, I don't know. Waited it out, went up, stuck at what, 0.25, sold that. And then I minted the second one, which I'm glad I did. That one was cooler. I sold that for like 0.3 the next day because I was like, as soon as it went up to 0.3, I just sold it. I didn't feel the vibes as Casino Nice, you would say.
Yeah. They don't have the vibes right now.
They don't have the vibes. It's not my vibe.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, it's tough because I think without the controversy, it could have, you know, received a really sizable pump, you know, between like the mint and the post reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been looking at it like a 0.6, 0.75 floor on. So
are we just going to gloss over Jay Skills' Bitcoin maximalism initially and then now to NFT Youngboy transition?
Yeah. NFT Youngboy.
And then everyone closed their eyes to that transition right there.
No, we support transitions in this podcast.
Hey, you were definitely Bitcoin maxi, though. I mean, you were like Michael Saylor at first. Now we're delving in. We're aping into the most speculative vertical of the most speculative asset class on the planet right now.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. Yeah, the Atom Bomb should have been your first NFT purchase.
Right. No, for sure.
Mine, too, to be honest. I should have been. I had one for a second, and I got... I sold it.
To be fair, Skills definitely promoted the bomb. And to be fair, I actually feel like I missed out on that as well. I'm not going to.
Yeah. No, and that's really my biggest like mistake, just investing and just in things in life. You know, it's just like
the obvious.
I get behind the obvious thing and I know it and I say it and I even tell other people about it. And then I don't do it myself. And I mean, yeah. I could really slap myself for all the times I've done that. But yeah, it happened again. And so these are the lessons that you have to learn in life. If you don't learn them, they'll continue to pop up until you do. And you might die before you do, you know, so it's up to you to do that before, you know, your last day. So yeah, let's just take this as a learning, a teachable moment, you know, for me.
For all of us.
Yeah, for all of us. You guys can learn from my mistakes.
All the Crypto Bros family.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have also made your own NFT mistakes on your own, you know. But yeah, mine are a little bit more in the public sphere. And the thing about it is, it didn't have to be a mistake, but the mistake is the gamble itself. And like Mike said, I was overexposed because there's a potential that I could have won, right? Whether they pumped or not, I could have gotten a rare piece. So that's the other part of this, right? The reason that I got three was basically you're trying to get one of the more rare pieces that have value no matter what. And I wanted to increase my odds. And I did, and none of my pieces were rare. And so now they're all sitting on the floor and I'm waiting for somebody to come sweep. But with that said, I've spent a lot of time over the last week in their Discord, in their group chat on Twitter, checking out their Twitter spaces. There is so much toxic positivity in this space that it just makes me want to run for the hills.
That's how you, you know, it's called bag holder talk. I believe I sent you that diagram.
Okay.
That toxic positivity, that it's going back. It's okay. It's
yeah.
We sweep the floor.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning. You're still early.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to like zoom out and look soon. At it more in a more like macro.
Sometimes zoom out. That's one too. Sometimes
zoom out is part of it. Yeah.
It can be. But you still have to. You do have to zoom out.
But I don't spend too much time in like chats. The specific or the particular project's Discord. Like I'm a part of like, I like to, you know, I have our group chat and I have my other Discord where we're more like just overall market type of like scoping and speculation, not like.
Hold on, not to cut you off, Mike, but my PFP just sold.
Okay. Finally sold something.
At the floor,
yeah.
Okay. At the floor.
Yeah, nice.
Fucking sweeping the floors over there.
You bundled it, right? You bundled
I did bundle it, but the bundle wasn't selling. So then I listed them each for 0.12. And they
let's talk about this bundle.
He's up, so you're up. So you're break even or up because the gas.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah,
let's talk about this bundle pack.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to cut Mike off. Sorry, Mike.
Sorry, Mike.
No, but I was just speaking toward, like, you know, that's just all those, like, specific or the project discords and chats are, like, just people, the community shilling.
Like, yeah.
Usually.
It's all bullshit. So
usually
yeah, that's one conversation that me and Mike had as well, was like, even in the DeFi space, I kind of refuse at this point now to utilize the Telegram. I mean, it's a big pep rally.
Yeah, when I say I'm in Telegram, I'm in my like a little home, like my homies, my mentor and the other 20 dudes that I know from across the world. We have four different like Telegrams that are sectioned by type of crypto market. And I have
unbiased.
Yeah, but none of the actual groups. I'm reading those chats. I'll be in some protocol chats and on Discord too. I'll be in the chats, But I, unless it's like something like real crypto native, like some Toads stuff or Turf or things that I know, like it's going to be 1,000 people and they're all talking about building shit. Yeah, the chat is like the worst PSYOP I've ever seen in Discord and Telegram. Telegram's really bad.
Yeah.
This section of Whale Talk is sponsored by American Express.
Yeah.
Well, by this Signal, section of Whale Talk is sponsored.
Yeah.
Lost the Telegram sponsor.
Yeah.
Avalina Whales.
Sponsored by Avalina Whales.
But yeah, my both mics are on to. That's something I think it takes some time to learn.
Yeah, and I think I'm somebody who likes to, I'm kind of like a jack of all trades in respect to life. And in that regard, like I like to dive into something for a couple weeks to try to understand it and then kind of completely forget about it. But just so I know like the psychology behind it, you know, I want to kind of really totally immerse myself, and I'll probably never like go in a Discord again, to be honest with you. But it was just interesting because I wanted to see, like, you know, what, like, how do these people tick and what are they really after? And you can kind of see like with their conversations. And it's funny because, you know, that's what Wag Me is all about. Like, that's the flip side of it, right? And it's like at the beginning, you know, it seems so hopeful. It's like the Kanye documentary. It seems so hopeful at the beginning. And then like by the end, you're like, oh no, this is really dark. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's really what, you know, all of the activity is, right? It's all about money, but everybody's like coding their words and everything. We're waiting for the roadmap. And it's like, who the fuck cares about a roadmap? Like, it all says the same thing. Like, none of it does anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but people are looking for things to pump their bags and looking for activity and waiting for these guys to come in the chat so they can, maybe something will influence the price. Like, it's all around the price action and people like the psychology around the price action and the conversations around it is just, I just found very interesting, but also something that I never want to involve myself in again. Like, just give me something that's going to fucking give me ROI and I'll talk to my friends. I don't need, like, you know,
it's just too much of a pep rally. It really is.
Yeah.
Twitter does it too. I mean, you'll see it on Twitter and you see you see it on YouTube, and then it scales just like all of the other bullshit that needs, you know, the things that don't need to scale always do. And that's one of the biggest things, the shilling and hopium is another thing they call it. Of just, yeah, gassing people up in the chat, and the guy gassing them up either has no coins, is a bot, or is waiting for you guys to buy back for him.
So exactly. Get out. Exactly. You know? Yeah. So that, yeah, I just wish, and it's not that like these people are particularly like bad or like weird. I think they're just caught up in the, you know, the rapture of what's going on. And I think the conversations will hopefully eventually turn to something more honest or earnest, but who knows? Like, I think Twitter has more humor and like more, like all the memes come from Twitter, you know? So it's like when I see the jokes about crypto and about NFTs and stuff on Twitter, I think like people have a better sense of humor about all of that stuff, like losses and everything, like, or just where the market's going, you know?
Yeah, and also there's data on Twitter that can be like, it's, you know, it's like a ledger. Like,
yeah,
you delete someone probably already has it. If you promoted a scam or if you promoted something that was bad or a bad call, someone will find it and have it. So you're, you know, what you say is on there, and then there's a lot of actual technical development and like day by day, every day there's a new thing, especially with these hacks that we talked about the other day. Like, it's like Twitter's where I, like, when I just got my Twitter back, my awareness of the market grew back another like 20% in the last week or two.
Yeah.
And my calls got better again, just from getting my Twitter back and getting ins and stuff. It's a lot of noise, but the noise is a little bit better over there.
Skills.
Yeah.
You see my crypto Twitter list. I kind of just went through over a span of like about 2 weeks of just following all the basically like all the influencers, mm-hmm. like the people who influence the influencers and people who are, I mean, who appear to be some of the loudest voices in the space.
Yeah.
And I think I showed you that list, actually. What did you think? I mean, is that, I don't know. Talk to me. How was that list? Because others can follow that same list also. It might be a cool starting point.
You gotta send it to me again, Mike, so I can look at, have it in front of me right now, because I don't remember.
Okay. Who's on it.
But while you're putting it up, Chris, I wanted to ask you, what did you think about the whole Kevin scenario?
Oh yeah, it's not surprising. Really funny, and that's how it works. The meme usually does win. This one will probably last long. What happened was, everyone, if you don't, I'm guessing most people don't know, there is a game, metaverse world game, like Minecraft, called Pixelmon. It's been around, or it's been in development for a minute. The sale was, the valuation was already high before the sale. They had a lot of these things minted out. People bought them bought them when they released at 3 Ethereum, which was about $12,000 or something. And a lot of these things came out looking real janky, like looking horrible, yeah. To the point where they lost their value by like 80%. As people made fun of them on Twitter, the main one, the ugliest one, is called Kevin. It's like this green blob dinosaur looking man, looks like a loogie with legs, and they meme this fool, this little character you can play with in the game, to hell and back up to heaven. He's now worth like 3.5 ETH again. A bunch of people bought them at the bottom, and now there's a bunch of derivatives and copycats and meme NFTs of Kevin. There's like, there's that meme MFers. There's Kevin MFers, that one the other day. Doodle Kevin's is coming soon, I'm sure.
They're doing Doodle Kevin's.
They're doing everything. I'm sure there's going to be a Shiba Kevin. Like, it's just how it is. But yeah. And Kevin is, I just saw something today about how, like, I guess Nintendo invested into them, and they were like, this is the most disgusting thing we've ever seen. It's very interesting. But the culture is a big thing. Like, sometimes culture is bigger than the art or the technology, as we've seen before.
Right. I think virality and like memes, like, rules all, right? I mean, if Elon taught us nothing, like,
does drive stuff. It depends on what it is. It usually never lasts longer than a year, I feel like. And that's with crypto, like, you know, memes are in general. Memes for us on social media last like 3 weeks, mm-hmm. 2 weeks, and then it's old. So, but you know, what are they worth now? Let's see, actually.
I was looking at them. I mean, it says the last sale was 8.6 ETH, 7.5 ETH, 7.3. Well, so
that's what happens. So whoever sold that shit thinking that they saved themselves are definitely upset. Hopefully they bought back.
Right. Yeah. That's it. That was just.
Oh yeah, I bought a fucking Kevin. It's like it's like a South Park version. I shouldn't have mentioned it. It's for mint. It was cheap. I thought it was like, oh, it's gonna go up. See, they got me.
It's insane. The trend. Mike, you have the scrunched eyebrow. Have you been following this Kevin saga at all?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it. I've seen the derivatives. I also, obviously, we were talking about the Pixelmon shit before it like minted, because it mint, like, people were like 3 Ether, some shit. Like, people were paying some pretty heavy prices to get involved in that project. So it was a pretty underwhelming reveal for everyone. But yeah, I've seen like the derivatives. I'm actually looking at the Invisible Friend market floor right now.
Oh yeah.
I'm just looking at floors right now. This is a good time to buy some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Market's down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it goes down a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been bullish on Invisible Friends, you know, other than obviously Bombs, I was talking about a lot since, you know, for months, and I didn't buy, but you know, we talked about Invisible Friends a few times on the pod so far. You know, I'm priced out of it, but It's definitely my favorite NFT collection. And when they dropped, you know, it was what I expected it to be. You know, a lot of their pieces are really dope. I like a lot of them. You know, they had fucking celebrities in it that weren't even like, didn't even seem like they were fucking chilling, you know, like Elijah Wood, like, and obviously Snoop is kind of like, we never know. Like, it seems like Snoop gets kind of paid to do everything, but you know, he bought an Invisible Friends like on camera, you know, I think yesterday or today.
I don't think, at least when I'm looking into like investing in shit like this, like blue chip stuff, none of that really matters.
Yeah.
For me personally, yeah. I'm looking at the quality of the art, and like, I mean, I guess like the social influencer part is a part of like the market sentiment on it, but also what would bring me, or like, you know, kind of like confirm some type of confidence in Invisible Friends at this moment is it still hasn't had a pump.
Yeah.
Like it revealed, you know, it had a like a pre-reveal kind of, you know, I wouldn't consider that even a pump. Mm-hmm. It just like, you know, it had a high floor because it was a very like high anticipated project, but also
no one could get in.
But right now is like it's sitting at 5.7 ETH floor. I think in the next bull run, you could see something like this go to 20 ETH floor.
Yeah.
15 ETH
floor. Yeah, I can see like, yeah, 20, 30 ETH, honestly, floor for this. Like,
yeah.
And get back, not maybe up to the punks and ape level, but right up under it. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah. And
I like the art, but it's one of the best. It's one of the best PFPs. That and Clonex, I think, are the best PFP. And Azuki.
Yeah, I was gonna say
this year.
I was gonna say too.
Just like doodles. Yeah.
About Invisible Friends, they don't have rarity, which I love. And so one of the things that kind of annoy me about just the projects in general is just like always having to look at rarity, because when I was going to get or looking at window shopping for a bomb or window shopping for the groupies and all the other stuff, you know, it was all based off of rarity. And if I buy this one, it's not going to be hot, whatever. And it's like, yeah, a lot of people in this space do buy the things that they like and the things that look like them or the things that, you know, kind of remind them of themselves or something they connect with. But most of the space is built around rarity. And I don't really love that, you know, and I think that Invisible Friends is dope for having a collection that doesn't. And I'm not saying they're the only one that does that. They're the one that I'm aware of that does it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, because all these NFTs definitely have rarity properties.
No, they said that they don't have rarity properties.
I'm looking at them. I'm literally looking at the properties that the NFT.
Hold on. I have to pull up their tweet. They tweeted that they don't have any rarity, and I thought that was dope. Maybe that was cap.
I mean, that's not true. They have rarity. Maybe.
All right, we'll have to strike that from the record. But I saw them tweet that, and I thought that was fire.
Let's see what they said though. Yeah. They might have said something funny like that.
Yeah. No, I didn't just make that up. Somebody said it.
You ever have that moment where you're like, damn, I'm hungry, but I don't want to go out to eat? It is way too expensive, and I don't know what to make because I'm not really into cooking. Guess what? It's real easy. It's real simple. I got a solution for you. HelloFresh. They deliver pre-portioned ingredients to your door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week, so you get convenience without skimping on quality. You skip the trip to the grocery store, saving you the wait and the long lines, and ensuring you don't waste money on excess food. Also, 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. Let me say that again. 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality, and you can save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. It's money back in your pocket. All right. So to review: A, great food. B, less expensive. C, less expensive than even if you went grocery shopping yourself. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less. 30 minutes or less. I'm talking about right now, I'm recording this at noon. By 12:30, lunch is served and it's fire. Come on now. You know I did it. I don't do this thing where I read the ad. Like, oh, what do you want me to talk about? I'll say whatever. I got to live it. I got to experience it. And I did. I had the beef tenderloin and cheese fondue. Woo-wee! Fire. Fire. I've got leftovers in the fridge right now that I'm about to destroy. That's right. Those 30 minutes that I was going to take to make a meal, I lied. Not making a meal right now. Eat my leftovers. But guess what? Tonight, dinner, we back at it. So make sure you're doing your due diligence. Make sure you're getting your HelloFresh living right. Save you time. Save you money. Make sure everybody going crazy in the house. Go to HelloFresh.com/bomb16 and use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's right. It's HelloFresh.com/BOM16. Use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, it's America's number one meal kit.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got 2 cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, Noodle. Hey, boy. How you doing? And Noodle's just like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Well, the one thing that turns me off about projects like Invisible, what they did was gatekeep it from such an early,
early stage, creating that hype of, oh, there's 400,000 people in the thing now, in the Discord now, priced out, you're already priced out by like two Ethereum, and you know, it, that's the only thing that, that made me forget about the project, actually, because it was just so, it felt so trying to be the next BAYC slash, which is trying to be Supreme, which is, you know, a little bit overhyped.
Okay,
but
look.
Is, but, here, but the art is amazing.
I'm going to send.
And I do love the project.
I'm going to send this. I knew I didn't make it up. I'm going to send this tweet to the chat. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't doubt you. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I it was just like one of those things when I saw it, it jumped out at me. But I believe you as well. I believe that they could have just said that. And, you know, I don't know how, you know, I don't really know how the space works in full totality. I was.
Oh, you're talking about the tweet about enjoying the reveal. We do not have any official rarity.
And don't plan, don't plan on
implementing one.
Yeah. And it says art vibes greater than.
Yeah,
greater
they,
than
didn't, they didn't. They didn't implement official rarity, but there is rarity.
Okay.
They don't have, they didn't like say, all right, well.
Oh, like this one is more valuable than like rarity stiffer and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for there's a surfboard and there's diamonds and there's a brain and there's only one of those each.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's like, niggas, man. I'm sorry.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That's bullshit.
Mike, do you have that list? Did you find that list?
Put in the chat.
He's smoking.
He's smoked up right now.
I know, I'm jealous. Yeah, or, ooh, good reminder. Thank you, Mike. I got an order right now. Think about
Reefer.
Yeah, I follow Kobe. I follow Kobe.
Oh yeah, he's a good. He's probably one of the best Twitters to follow. Although he mostly just makes people fucking nervous and makes jokes now.
Yeah.
But when he posts serious stuff, or like his Substack thread is really, yeah, it's really good. He'll have it on his bio.
Is he's really good. Co-host Ledger is a cocksucking bum though. Who you can tell is a fucking nerd with no money.
He's so annoying.
And
he's
so
super,
it's
super
like,
annoying. But yeah, he's a really good technical analyst.
My niggas, like for some reason he believes that because he's cool with this one whale, that then like niggas now believe what you have to say makes you credible.
Yeah.
And it's like, fam, we could tell by your talk and your moves is light. Like we not.
Yeah, even, and also he came from like the old market. Like he still has those ideas. He applies that stuff to. He applies like TA to farm yield shitcoin that just came out. That's got, you know, crazy APYs, and I don't understand that sometimes. But he like once in a while, right, when I listen to his podcast with the other guy. Was it Carpe Noctum is his name? Like he's really good technical analysis, and that's why I listen to that one. Like a fool does annoy me. A lot of people I follow and listen to, I don't like or agree with a lot of time, but they're smarter than me. And you know, also getting the opposite view is always good in this market because
exactly
very biased and stubborn.
And I feel like he's not even smarter than me, like, which is even crazier because I feel like he spent more time into the space. I got in obviously 17 at the end, but I also took a year off because I was so butthurt by how XRP performed. And so I feel like, you know, I missed out on key and valuable time and lessons and rhythms and cycles that, you know what I mean? A lot of people got to make their little ones and M's off of, and I'm okay with that, but you can still tell when someone's just a fucking nerd with no hoes.
Yeah, I mean, he's
married. I'm not listening to you, bro. Like, I'm sorry. Like I fuck with Kobe because I feel like bro still has isms low key, and it's like I'm hella up and I don't really even need to lead off of me being hella up.
Yeah.
Like, that's a difference, you know what I mean? Like, he leads off of his isms. Oh, yeah. By the way, I'm hella up. Also, yeah.
He doesn't even talk about being up anymore. I feel like he didn't even talk about money.
He's so up.
Yeah,
he's so up.
He doesn't care.
So where he can't even talk about being up anymore.
Yeah, it's like he's lost the joy of that in general.
And just to be clear for our listeners out there, just to give like I guess specifics, it is estimated his net worth is low end between 50 million, high end between 500. Some say 5 billion is what it could be. But anywhere between those, feel comfortable just dropping a token at any one of those.
Yeah, that's killer. Yeah, I follow a lot of people on Twitter in the crypto and NFT space. I end up following a gang of people from Weather Report that have those PFPs because that's part of the whole culture, just to get into it, which is not really like a terrible thing. It's not something I would advise, but it's an interesting part of the NFT culture of like everybody following everybody. It reminds me of like MySpace or like Facebook, like when it just started type of thing. Like everybody had 10,000 friends and you know what I'm saying? Everybody was following everybody and all of this stuff. I'm saying that to say like, it's going to be interesting what the next iteration of the space is because right now it hasn't been really corporatized. And once that happens, because like, you know, they had
if you ask me, it has though. And I'm not into the NFT space as deep as y'all are, but so allow me to push back on this.
Yeah.
Me looking up and saying, seeing that, you know, Bore Yacht Club is now like, I don't know, partnering with Supreme or partnering with this, like, this is, to me, from the outside looking in, it definitely looks that all the larger drops or even ape wallets are all being held by, if not DAOs of companies themselves or yeah. hedge funds themselves. I don't know. And you know, some people in this chat have real capacity. Okay. I don't know any of us that have any apes.
Right.
Right. So right. Who has them then?
Yeah.
Right. Super early adopters are people with real financial capacity. Who yeah. is that?
Well, here, the thing about that though, too, Mike, is that a lot of, I mean, and here's the difference between the NFT space and I think the crypto space is that in order to get cash in the NFT space, for the most part, obviously there's yield that you can, you know, get from your ape or whatever, you have to sell. So for the people who didn't have money, who were lucky enough to get an ape or a punk, in order to for them to cash out, they have to sell. You know, that's not really exactly the same process for coins, right? Like you can borrow.
Right, because we're talking about Willy Wonka fucking chocolate tickets like that. You know what I mean? It exists, like a couple of people have access to them. Yeah. This shit blows me, dog. And I can't sit here, bro, and let niggas treat this as if it's investing. It's not.
No, it's bro. Not. It's not.
We're
but that's why
going dark to the wall, bro.
Right. And that's kind
technology of is the investment. But right now, for us in this podcast, I think we all kind of agree it's, you know, only one of these things I'm looking at right now, like, or that I would buy as an investment. And I'm not going to put my
let
money
me
into that.
Know how them shitty ass tokens is doing right now.
Yeah. I hear and you, I'm, but I'm not everything put my money has cycles. In. No.
Let
everything
me know.
Has cycles, though. Everything has cycles.
Yeah, but we do know so that the NFT cycle is offset.
You can't disqualify NFTs as an investment if it's the NFT cycle. And if you
I have to just qualify it as an investment.
I can mediate this right here. I think what the problem is, people think that these things can be safe haven assets, just like that podcast which I sent you guys earlier today that I was hoping y'all listened to. Like, a lot of people thought, we all thought the art blocks were going to be the safe haven,
right?
Because they're going to be at Christie's and people, they're going to be the first generative art house, blah, blah, blah. I think it takes some time to learn that NFTs, unless you're buying a punk, in my opinion, which are kind of dying out, so I guess the ape, most of these aren't really safe haven assets. There's no safe haven asset beside Bitcoin and Ethereum, in my opinion.
Right.
I think you can go get a little bit more riskier and get a bond, which would be a fucking ugly ass ape from some
right. From some, so I think the moral of my story as a resident gambler is that NFTs is the worst form of gambling. Like,
no, it's not. Yeah, actually,
let me finish.
The safest form of gambling.
That leverage shit you were doing is the
worst form of gambling. Whatever you're happy about this week, because whatever happened on Monday move, that's the worst form of gambling.
Leverage trading is the worst. Come on now.
Leverage. Yeah. That's the worst. Oh, gambling is probably the worst, technically.
Come on, man.
No, but I was, because this is what I'm saying.
My life is
Listen, right now. You have a literal, and I'm just gonna go off percentage. Like, if I was more responsible, like, yes,
knowing that does leverage is responsible.
Right.
There we go.
Not knowing. I was talking to Mike McCoy last week or the week before. I was in my Discord. A kid was like, I know a dude that was up 2 million, maybe 20 million. What was the number, Mike? We'll just say for the sake of 2 million for sure.
Right.
It's down to zero leverage trading.
Right. Okay. I get what you're saying, but I'm just going to give you the math of it just for the listeners. If you're leverage trading, the price can go either up or down. Mm-hmm. It's not you picking. If I buy NFT, I'm buying one out of 10,000, right? Yeah. That one can be bad, and the 10,000 can also be bad. In a leverage trade, I can either go up or down. I have a 50-50 chance to win in that bet that I'm making. If I put $500 on the table for a leverage trade, I can either go up or go down. I could spend $500 on an NFT of one of 10,000 of a Denton Fields.
It can go up or it can go down.
It can go to zero, and I can buy into the project that actually is successful, and the NFT that I bought cannot succeed. That's terrible.
If it's successful, it will succeed. NFT
liquidated.
That's terrible odds.
It doesn't matter about the liquidation, bro. You're getting caught up in the wrong aspect of it. Liquidation doesn't matter. Liquidation does not matter if it's zero.
I don't have any NFTs in my wallet that have gone to zero.
Yeah, technically.
But if they don't sell, they are worthless.
Liquid.
It's the same thing.
What Mike is saying in understanding and identifying when you're in a bullish or a bearish cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
And that will dictate the movements and your moves in the space. And you just have to be cognizant of like the volume of which the project and where the market's at.
Yeah. Now, if you understand the market better, like you do and Chris does, it's not to say that you can't be successful at NFTs and have a lot less risk than leverage trading, which is the truth. I don't want to speak in hyperbole and separate the truth from the point that I'm making about gambling. The truth is leverage trading is probably the most risky thing that you can do with your money, and is not a sound thing to do over any period of time. So I'm not going to sit here and try to champion leverage trading. I'm just saying that the math on your probabilities, if you're just throwing $1,000 out there, would be better with no knowledge of either system. Now, if you have knowledge on NFTs, yes, you're not going to go to zero, but it takes a lot of time to learn. And I should have invested even more time than I already had before I bought the NFTs that I did.
You're goddamn right.
And by the way, I'll push back on that last part. You can go to zero because these are highly illiquid. So when you're trying to liquidate and no one is there to buy it, then your investment is now at zero.
I mean,
that's not zero.
That is zero. it's semantics, but it's zero.
It could never come back.
That's not how that works, though, bro. Like, the whole purpose of an investment is to have liquidity to that investment at a different point. And so, like, you know, I appreciate the pictures are all nice and they're variations of those very nice pictures. You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
I actually like some of the degenerative
That's a great word.
Let's call it what it is. Yeah, degenerative art blocks. Okay, cool.
I like that.
But even like, again, like there's no, you know, there is no floor. There is no, or there is a floor, I guess, but
floor is lava.
Liquidity, they're so illiquid to where it's like, man, you can go to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or you can, or you cannot, you can have zero of the funds that you're looking to utilize available when it comes time to utilize those funds.
It's harder to stop losses on NFTs.
Right. Yeah. To me, that's zero.
Yeah. You have no control over your stop loss on NFT.
Well, you do. Zero. You just have to sell it right away.
So viewers at whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I'm saying if the project went to zero, if the Denton whatever lawsuit went through yesterday and niggas had to like the crypto Maurice, what happened?
That has
that?
To do with outside sources. Like if you're
I'm just saying you don't have control. You have no control, bro.
But you know what? If there's a flash crash in NFTs, nothing happens. It crashes down. Like our friend bought Zodiac capsule for 4 ETH, and it went down to like 0.9, and then it went back up to what, 2 ETH. And if you would have sold it, then 0.9, you would stop losses. Blah blah blah. If you were to have that same wick when you're trading leverage in Bitcoin or Ethereum, whatever coin, shitcoin you want to trade.
It wipes you out.
Your stop loss won't matter. You're gonna get liquidated because of what happens with that scam wick.
But the coin won't disappear. What about crypto Maurice?
Well, your account will disappear when you're leverage trading. The coin will disappear because I have a wallet full of 57 coins.
The coin
that has
nowhere,
zero value.
But I'm saying what happened to crypto Maurice got deleted off of OpenSea, right?
Yeah, but that's something that happens everyone. There's literally 56 coins in one wallet that are zero in my wallet.
But let's not even do worst case scenario.
And that's just called Mori. That means death, right?
Yeah.
Crypto, like, bro.
But if you zoom out, ultimately we're asking just a very like just basic fundamental question is, you know, how does art perform in down markets of real estate or equities or anything else? And historically it performs better.
Yeah.
Historically, on every level, right? So I'm not surprised that NFTs are holding above water right now as the coins are all down.
Yeah.
That's not really rocket science or nothing that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
It's a hard time trying to gauge them even in the up markets. And so we'll just, you know, we'll see, man. It's interesting, like the article or the pod that was sent to the chat earlier, hedge funds are moving into NFTs also. We'll see how long they stay in NFTs. Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if you listened to it or not. And the guy, you know, gave his expertise and the criteria. He runs a $50 million hedge fund.
Yeah.
That will be acquiring NFT hedge fund.
$50 million or $50 billion?
$50 million. $50 million.
That's pretty light, to be honest.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But you know, the bigger criteria for them specifically is not really the art, but you know, what's behind the token, what's behind the art, what are you really buying? What is the utility or the technology or you know, like a real project? So they're not really buying doodles or you know, or crypto Maurice. Those aren't the NFTs that you know that's. Particular hedge fund that he's heading is that's not really the criteria of like the type of NFTs that they're going to be investing in.
So they're only doing like the utilities and the gaming ones.
The gaming ones are real projects.
Land parcels.
Let's talk about that. And like let's talk about that because that's actually something that's really important, right? So now we're seeing $50 million, so basically smaller hedge funds are now jumping into this gaming, these gaming NFT or these utility NFT space. There's a reason why.
Yes.
Right? They see something that they can multiply. And if you can put some funds up at first, you might not be able to have such the heights of, you know, a huge pop on a PFP project or something like that, but you can have steady growth.
Yeah. You shouldn't have that huge pop for what the scaling should be. You want to scale it, everything in 10 years, we're not going to see the crazy prices from most of the NFTs, and there's going to be a lot more NFTs probably or in the next 5 to 10 years. And yeah, with the gaming stuff, yeah, they want to have a V-Bucks coin. So your kid is grabbing the credit card and not just buying the skins, but buying the token to buy this NFT skins for Fortnite Edition 2030. And, you know, he can transfer it to his Minecraft game on his VR or blah, 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 whatever they got going on. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're investing in. That's what
I have some friends that are heavy in the Gala space right now. Mm-hmm. And they're full all the way in. And I think it's very interesting that they're actually, you know, supplementing income for themselves and even family members.
Yeah.
By running nodes and also buying those utility NFTs. So, I mean, it's definitely like people don't understand that these types of things are existing and happening right now.
Yeah. Right. They see it. They see it closer to.
What's proliferated is fucking the shit that don't do anything, that just is art.
So that's not art.
Right. So before we wrap it, I wanted to talk about a conversation that we had in a group chat earlier. Chris sent the Ukrainian airdrop.
explain that. Sacrifice. Yeah. Loading. Yeah, airdrop loading.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I love that.
It went against my ethics, honestly.
Oh, ethics.
Niggas have this ethics in this space. What?
This man was texting me at 3 a.m.
I drew the line right there. I drew the line.
Called Shiba Shit Zoo, whatever.
Ethics. Hey, Mike, I appreciate it. I applaud you on that.
Hey, Mike, you should have sent money to that Ukrainian.
No, I thought about it. I thought about it. Those fucking Nazis. I thought about it. I'm telling you.
Hey, yeah, no. So, Chris, give us an explanation for what happened.
All right. So, for like the last. Maybe the sad conflict, hopefully, you know, not offending anyone, but this shit was fucking hilarious. For the last 4 or 5 days, Ukraine has been accepting crypto, or like for a week, they've been accepting crypto since, you know, they're getting invaded. They need some money, some funds, money for guns or whatever. I just saw my feed. They're doing every tank destroyed in Ukraine. It gets a Bitcoin, every Russian tank, some company's giving them Bitcoin or something. But Ukraine was putting up an Ethereum and Bitcoin donation address after a guy named Gavin Wood, who created Polkadot or Dot. Many of you probably seen that on your Coinbase. I like Dot. He donated like a bunch of Dot, and that started like the trend to give Ukraine crypto. It had already been happening, but like it became a little bit more decentralized by just us posting the addresses on Twitter. Or them doing that. And then yesterday morning or 2 days ago, I don't remember what day it was, two days ago, there was a tweet on the thread that the Ukrainian official Twitter posted with the address. Following the address, they said, snapshot will be confirmed March 3rd, which was yesterday, which means, there's an airdrop incoming, snapshot will be confirmed March 3rd. So that means yesterday, everyone who sent money in, their addresses and their transactions are snapshotted or recorded for a airdrop that's supposed to be given to all the wallets that sent stuff. So there's like maybe 1,000 Ethereum sent before that tweet, another 1,000 within 7 days. The one day after that tweet, there was another 1,000 within like 12 hours. It already went up 50% in donations within like 12 fucking hours of that tweet happening, just from people speculating, sadly. Philanthropic speculation, you know.
Philanthropic loading.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so. It should better be loaded.
Ukraine loaded.
Ukraine bags loading.
Dude, there's. I saw people making fun of like, oh, we got rugged or rug pulled because there has not been a drop yet. They said a snapshot. Snapshot. Means
Ukraine
like,
rugged this.
They recorded it. Let's see. No wind drop. Let's see, wind drop. No, nothing about when the drop.
Niggas got rugged by a comedian. Literally.
Oh wow, they posted something about a Oh, they're posting stuff about, okay.
Well, okay. Yeah, we definitely, I know we had a few chuckles over, but definitely want to send prayers out to all the people in Ukraine and
yes, who,
you know, really dealing with the real life situation of that war and that conflict and the Russian, you know, people as well that have to deal with, you know, bad Vlad over there.
Yeah, they got the ghost though, right? The ghost of Kiev.
Oh yeah, shout out to the ghost of Kiev. My man's a G. Oh, triple OG.
You know, it's fake.
Nah, that's real.
Right now,
it's fake.
Nah,
it's fake.
Nah, that's fake.
It's confirmed fake.
It's confirmed fake. That ghost thing was fake. The video with the tank running over the that was a Ukrainian tank. Dead ass.
That's just cappuccino, my nigga.
Caparino, but there is a revision going on. But those videos on Instagram are apparently fake. And
Colin Kaepernick.
Hey, as I said before, this isn't political, bros. This is crypto, bros. We don't want to get too bogged down in that, but I definitely wanted to bring that situation to light because I thought that was an interesting scenario with the airdrop and what have you. But yeah, you know,
this is NFT, bros.
This is crypto, bros.
I know. NFTs, yeah, we haven't really been speaking about a lot of crypto. I mean, we got a couple.
NFTs are crypto. Metaverse isn't crypto.
Metaverse
isn't fully crypto. Crypto is in the metaverse. Metaverse has got multiple things and crypto's involved.
Right.
But, you know, it's all around crypto because we talked about gold last week.
Right.
And, you know, this is digital gold we're talking about a lot of the time. Or there's, you know, sometimes we'll talk about just the legislation and stuff and law and shit. I mean, we saw what happened with the Russian market and the last few days it tanked to all hell. I don't know what the hell happened over there. And
oh yeah. Didn't you guys say they couldn't stop Swift? Didn't they stop Swift?
Oh, well, I thought they wouldn't.
Y'all said they would. Remember that.
I know. I saw that and I was like, wow, they did that.
Yeah. They shut that Swift down. So
was that Caparino Chino? What you think, Mike?
Cappuccino, my boy. And he already said we're utilizing crypto to bypass all the sanctions anyway. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry, but don't sweat it.
Then he said, y'all can't leave me either. You see that shit? He said, y'all can't leave the bank. He locked him down.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Put him on a time lock. Like, what's your boy's
name? Oh, wow. Wow. Well, on that note,
loading.
This has been another excellent episode of Crypto Bros brought to you by Samsung, American Express, Coinbase,
crypto.com,
crypto.com,
cash app,
blue chew dot, and all of those good people. We love you guys so much. And yeah, for Mike Risay, Chris Epps, Mike McGoy, I'm Jason Madison. Peace.